The presidential election is just 88 days away, and the coming days are important for Democrats. Next week, presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden is expected to announce his running mate. And the week after that, the Democratic National Convention. We want to take a minute now to look at some of Biden's policy proposals. And we have with us Asma Khalid, who is political correspondent for NPR, and she's been covering the Biden campaign. Welcome.
Hey there.
So, Asma, I want to start with the pandemic. Biden has criticized President Trump's handling of efforts to fight COVID-19. How is Biden proposing to get things under control if elected?
Yeah, I mean, I will say, Tanya, this has been one of his key proposals. I go back to March, one of the last in-person events that I attended, that was sort of a bigger-ish rally that Joe Biden held, was to deal with the pandemic. He outlined a plan. Then back in June, he again had an event that I was at where he outlined this five-step plan in Delaware, where he was talking about different things that he thinks needs to be done. You know, he's talked extensively about the need to scale up testing. He feels like we as a country need to have a plan where personal protective equipment is available for any healthcare worker who needs that equipment. He's also talked about the fact that we need to accelerate vaccine plans and make the distribution of that vaccine more clearly and transparently accessible to people, and that the country needs to have a consistent message on mask wearing. And lastly, Tani, he's also talked about the need to boost Social Security and SNAP payments for people who are at high risk. He feels like this is, you know, not just an issue of a public health crisis, but also an economic issue.
Yeah, he's also talking about, in regards to the economics of it, creating something called a public health job corps. This is interesting because it would employ people out of work to help fight this virus. What other specific plans is he really offering to improve the economy?
Yeah, I mean, I will say a lot of what we have heard from him recently has been about building back the economy. You know, we all know when we look at the unemployment numbers and other economic indicators that this...
It looks like we might have lost Asma Khalid. Asma is a political correspondent with NPR, and she's been talking with us about the Biden campaign. We will try to get her again. We have her back.
Oh,
the beauty of live radio.
Oh, my gosh.
So we were talking specifically about the economy and some of the ways that this presidential nominee is taking this on.
And sorry about that, Tanya, but hopefully I will not cut out again. I was saying that he's talked about some of the immediate steps he feels that the federal government can do in terms of providing state and local government with aid so that they can provide that information to essential workers or educators. And he's also talked about extended crisis unemployment insurance to people who are currently out of work. In the more long-term sense, though, he's also outlined an agenda that he calls Buy American. This is, I think, really an interesting political move in contrast to President Trump's America First agenda. And he's talked about the need to buy goods that are made in America so that in the future, if there was a, you know, not necessarily a public health crisis, but any type of national crisis, the country would not be relying on important materials or pharmaceuticals from foreign countries. And he's outlined a pretty extensive plan, you know, calling for, say, $300 billion in additional research and development for this Made in America agenda.
Let's talk a little bit about something else, and that's police reform. So some on the left have called for the defunding of police, but Biden and a lot of Democrats as well say that they don't want that. This week, he told donors he actually wants more money for the police to enact reforms to that institution. Where does he stand on policing?
Yeah, Tanya, he doesn't have a specific initiative on policing per se, but he has put out a plan on broader criminal justice issues. He talks a lot about the need to invest more in community policing. He's called for a $300 million additional investment. He's also talked about the need for the Justice Department to address some of the systemic misconduct that the country has seen in local police departments across the country. And I think what's really notable, Tanya, is that, you know, he has a fairly long list of policies he claims that he'll get to in the first 100 days. But he specifically has called for a police oversight body that he says he will set up in his first 100 days. And, you know, a lot of this, I think, is also important for the vice president politically, because there are certainly members of the Democratic Party, folks on the progressive left, who remember his legacy in bringing about the 1994 crime bill.
Right.
We still have you know, questions about Biden's role around some of these policing issues. And there's decently a lot of skepticism, I will say, specifically when I talk to young voters.
What about larger efforts towards racial equity? He said a couple of statements that many people have taken issue with over the last few days. What is he promising?
When it comes to racial equity, Tanya, I would say a lot of his focus has been on economic equality. He's outlined some plans that will call for additional investments around public-private venture capital to Black and brown entrepreneurs. He's called for additional money as well for low-interest business loans. And what I think is, you know, an interesting nugget, which I hadn't heard so much about prior to this, was he actually called specifically for the Fed, the Federal Reserve, to start focusing more on racial economic gaps and collecting that information and making that sort of a higher priority. And so I will say a lot of the racial economic justice issues that he has highlighted most recently have focused on economic plans.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about some other plans, including child care and adult caregiving. So Biden spoke in Newcastle, Delaware recently about how he wants to expand access, and he announced a plan that includes nearly $800 billion towards this, which would aid in reducing the cost of child care for kids under five. Let's listen.
Low and middle income families won't spend more than 7% of their income on child care for children under the age of five. The most hard-pressed working families won't have to spend a dime.
This, of course, is a topic that's very important to families in the United States, and it's something that many administrations have tried to tackle over several administrations. Can you tell us more about this specific plan?
Sure. You know, he's called for universal pre-K for all 3- and 4-year-olds. And he's also promised, as we heard there, that a number of low and middle income families would essentially face a cap, that they would not have to pay out-of-pocket expenses for childcare beyond a certain amount. I think there are certainly a lot of questions from Republicans about how you would pay for such an extensive plan. And at this point in time, we've heard primarily from the vice president about the need, for, from his view, to roll back some of President Trump's tax cuts. And that is how he envisions paying for much of this childcare plan.
With the little bit of time that I have left with you, immigration, of course, is a topic that Trump ran on the last election. Biden has spoken quite a bit about it. He told NPR he wouldn't tear down any parts of the border wall constructed by this current administration, but he wouldn't build more. So where does he stand on immigration? What is he campaigning on with this topic?
Well, Tanya, this is another issue that he promises to tackle within essentially his first 100 days. He says that he will put forward a comprehensive immigration reform bill. He has also pledged that he will have put a moratorium on deportations. This is, again, some issue that I will say folks on the progressive left of the party have had skepticism about where the vice president is. Bernie Sanders definitely attracted more of a sort of a following specifically among immigration activists during the primary cycle. But Joe Biden has tried to address some of the concerns from folks within the left of his own party as we've been moving closer to the November election.
With the 30 seconds I have with you, what population is he most focused on right now in his fight to win in November?
That's such an interesting question. You know, Tanya, I often say to people that there is what I would call a Joe Biden coalition, and that coalition is combined of, you know, anti-Trump Republicans, African-American activists. It's a very hodgepodge group of people, and the singular common focus they have is they want to defeat President Trump. I don't know that there's that much else in common amongst all of them.
NPR political correspondent Asma Khalid, as always, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.